The 1768 St. Philip's Church was the largest in the colony when built, one source says. The walls were originally 24 feet high, and part of the floor was paved in the shape of a cross using brick tiles. Royal Governor Dobbs had promised donations of a pulpit and other items, but died before the building was finished. He was buried in the floor at the near end by the altar, one of 12 burials archaeologists found there. With no preacher in the region, a judge presided over his funeral. The new governor, William Tryon, donated 11 glass windows. A baby among the altar graves may have been Tryon's son. The British have long been blamed for burning the church, but it was part of the official Anglican Church of England. A more likely culprit has emerged. The local Patriot militia destroyed the home and personal property of John Colet, Loyalist commandant of Fort Johnston, the year before. Swiss, and not Anglican, Colet took advantage of the outbreak of war to lead a Tory force here in March 1776, probably burning both the church and a later stop out of revenge. Look at the marker by the cemetery and locate the grave of Benjamin Smith. Pause. Benjamin Smith was born around 1757 to Sarah Moore, the daughter of the owner of Orton Plantation, and a South Carolina planter. He studied in his hometown of Charleston, in Philadelphia, and briefly in London before returning home due to the Revolution. After briefly serving in the South Carolina militia, he joined the Continental Army and was an aide to General George Washington in the 1776 Battle of Long Island, New York. The next year, he married Sarah Dry, William's daughter. He helped defeat the British 2 years later at Beaufort, South Carolina, eventually rising to colonel. He was contracted to rebuild Fort Johnston after the war, and in time was promoted to militia major general. In 1782, as the war wrapped up, he was elected to the North Carolina Senate, and later served in the State House and the State Conventions to consider the federal constitution. He was the Grand Master of the North Carolina Masons and state governor for 1 year. He returned to a life of wealth at Orton and other properties, but it did not last. Smith was apparently too generous. In 1792, he donated the land adjacent to Fort Johnston that had become Smithville in his honor, now Southport. He gave 20,000 acres granted him for his war service to the University of North Carolina, whose board he was on. He and Sarah helped the poor and made the critical mistake of co-signing a loan for a friend who defaulted, leaving them poor. Smith died a nearly bankrupt widower at his worn-down Smithville home in 1826. Look into the cemetery for what appears to be a tomb, possibly just a table marker above a normal grave. Walk past it, parallel to the church wall, and find the grave of Alfred Moore, son of Judge Maurice Moore, which has a small Patriot marker at its foot. He served as a Patriot soldier in the Revolution, and later was a justice on the United States Supreme Court. Then look into the distance beyond the church. Pause. As you stand here on Monday, March 18, 1765, you likely hear the sounds of gunshots. Captain Alexander Simpson and Lieutenant Thomas Whitehurst of the Royal Navy gunship Viper apparently both fell in love with Anne Pearson of Norfolk. Simpson married her. No one knows exactly why, but Simpson challenged Whitehurst to a duel. Whitehurst has his thigh broken by a pistol shot and his head wounded in several places by the butt end of a horse pistol, of which the pan was broken by the violence of the blows he received on the head from Mr. Simpson, Governor Tryon reports. Whitehurst later died. Simpson, wounded in the right shoulder, escaped for several weeks before he was captured and tried in Wilmington. He was convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to having an M burned into his left hand. Continue in the direction you were walking to the farthest grave. Pause. Bostonian William Hill, a Harvard graduate, moved here in 1757 to run the town school, but soon became an import-export merchant partnered with the son of Richard Quince. Hill married Nathaniel Moore's daughter, Margaret, at Orton. He helped run the church here, and as a lay reader, often ran the services when the minister was at others. Hill was appointed by Dobbs to collect taxes on alcoholic beverages, but as rebellion brewed, his attitude toward Britain changed. A 1773 visitor from Boston described Hill as a sensible, polite gentleman, and though a crown officer, a man replete with sentiments of general liberty. Hill was surprised to receive a tea shipment the next August, given that the colony had adopted Boston's embargo. He sent a letter to his supplier in England. He had ordered it for arrival a year earlier. But, "It is now too late to be received in America. If I were willing to take it, the people would not suffer it to be landed. Poison would be as acceptable." He returned the tea on the same ship. During the Revolution, he moved to Wilmington and held government administrative roles until dying in 1783 of obstinate quackery, someone wrote at the time. He refused to call a doctor until 4 days before his death. Scroll down to Armed Conflict Begins, follow its driving instructions, and click its audio clip.